Renoites listeners, and welcome to this latest mini episode of Renoites. My name is Connor McWibbe. I am your host. This is a shorter than usual episode. I'm trying to do some mini episodes both between the main seasons and throughout the main seasons as well, just because I really love my hour-long format, but I want to be able to talk to more people and bring more guests on the show, and sometimes shorter episodes are the best way to do that. Today's episode is with Ella Hayworth. We met at the Sierra Regional Roller Derby live taping a couple weeks ago. That episode just came out recently. Ella is the founder of Bitchin' Betties. It's a female skate group. They've thrown a couple events, including skate competitions. They had one last year and this year. And her goal is just to encourage more people to take up the sport of skating. It was cool to meet her and great to have her on the show. I hope you enjoy this mini episode. I'll be back with full episodes, normal episodes, at the beginning of September. So now's a great time if you have suggestions for guests to let me know. Shoot me an email, Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at renoites.com, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. And now, this week's guest on a Renoites Shorts episode, Ella Hayworth of the Bitchin' Betties. Ella Hayworth, founder of the Bitchin' Betties.
Woo-woo!
Welcome to Renoites. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, no problem.
Yeah, so I just met you recently at the Sierra Regional Roller Derby live taping at Black Rabbit Mead. And there's some overlap. So Bitchin' Betties is a skate club, right? And
yes,
roller derby is on roller skates, but you're more of a skateboarder, I think. Can you talk a little bit about what Bitchin' Betties is?
Yes. So I originally was going for a female skate collective, not a club, because we don't have any like official members. We probably won't ever have any official members. I want everyone to feel like it's not like a thing that you have to be a part of. You know, I just want to get the girls together, get them to skate, have a good time. And then I was like, well, thinking there's only like two or three park roller skater girls in Reno. I'll invite them too. And then rollerblade girls, like I would like to eventually reach out to BMX girls. There's this one girl that she lives somewhere else now, but every once in a while you'll catch her at Burgess and she's like pro BMX chick. Rad. Anytime I see someone out and they're doing like a form of extreme sport with wheels, I walk up to them. I'm like, yo, that's sick. Who are you? What are you about? And let me see some stuff.
Yeah.
Any ability.
Yeah. How did you get started in skateboarding yourself before Bitchin' Betties? Have you always been a skater? And what's kind of your experience with wheel sports?
Yes. When I was younger, my brother had like a half pipe in my backyard. He was like 10 years older than me. So he was probably like 18. I was like 8 years old watching him and his friends skate. I thought it was just so cool. And then for the longest time, I was always too insecure to actually skate myself. And then I ended up moving really close to my school and I had one of those Walmart Kryptonics boards and I learned how to cruise around. And all my homegirls, they had penny boards and I was too broke for a penny board and I wanted one so bad. But my brother had a hand-me-down that he gave to me. And so that's when it started, all from there. I still cruise for a good year or two. And then I learned how to drop in, learned how to ollie, learned how to shove. And then I moved out here. And then I stopped skating for 2 years. And then I was like, am I going to let other people being mean to me limit me wanting to skate? I feel like a big lesson for everyone out there is like, even if people seem like they care, and they're like making fun of you, they don't care. Do your thing. Please do your thing. I just started going to Idyllwild every day, working my way up. It's been like 4 years now since I restarted skating.
Oh, right on. Did you find that people who you said made fun of you or like didn't...
They couldn't skate.
They couldn't skate. Is that what it was? Can you talk a little bit more about that experience of being like a young female skater that has to deal with like people being assholes to you?
I believe it's insecurity, honestly. A lot of people think that women are weaker. So when they see a woman do something that is cooler than what they can do, they get intimidated and they feel the need to say something. I remember like skating around Hot August Nights last year. Everyone's like, do a kickflip. Can you even skate? Like, get out of my way. Like, people are scared of it. And most of the people who say like, do a kickflip or taunt you for like their perception of you not knowing how to skate because they can't skate.
Right.
My biggest challenge to them who say that to me is do it then. And then I give them my board and they can't do it. So it's just like, okay, well, why are you trying to press me?
Right. How'd you get started with the collective? Were there other skaters that you knew and wanted to like hang out with more?
No, actually 2022, when they were threatening to take away abortion rights, I was freaking out because my homegirls live in Iowa and they just recently, like a month or two ago, fully canceled it all out. I was worried for them because I knew that we would always stay pro-abortion in Nevada because of like, we're a protective state. Mm-hmm. Like, we just signed a bill where we can take women from other states who are seeking like asylum for abortions to into Nevada. So I wasn't worried about me. I was worried about them. And I was like, how do I make money? And then I decided to do a skate competition and charge everyone $5. We ended up raising like $632 for the Wild West Fund. They send resources. They can get women to Nevada to get legal abortions. They can house women. They could give them food. They can give them Plan B, Plan C, all the jazz. And they spread good information because mm-hmm. there is a lot of false clinics in Reno that try to convince you that it's not the way of God mm-hmm. or like it's not, you're going to regret it. And just making these women feel like even if they're not prepared, and that child is probably going to have either end up in foster care or have a pretty crappy life. Mm-hmm. They're making the women who feel unprepared and like they can't do it feel like they have to do it because it's morally right in their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that the like the fake pregnancy resource centers or whatever they call them, where it's not an abortion clinic and it's basically like a trick. They're like, oh, do you need help with a unexpected pregnancy? Come see us. And then it's just like a pressure campaign.
Yes. It's they try to just convince you to have it, even if you know you're not going to be prepared, you don't have enough money. Like some of these girls have $20 in their account. But anyway, I needed to raise money. So I raised as much money for them as I could. On top of that, I had live bands. I just wanted something that people would be interested in going to. An all-female skate competition, live bands. We didn't have really many vendors the first year we did it, but we had two. And then this year, we took all the money and put it back into Bitchin' Betty's so that I can continue to give free skate lessons, make sure I can like get these ladies out there because there's so many ladies who feel unappreciated in a sport such as skateboarding because you have to fail. Mm. And it's embarrassing for them to fall in front of others, like they don't think they're good enough. I've heard lots of women tell me personally and other girls who run skate communities that they help them a lot mm-hmm. and that it just helps to have another girl to skate with. It feels a lot more non-judgmental. It feels like you can really be yourself. And I don't think your femininity should end because you skateboard. You're expected to be like tough in every aspect of life if you skateboard, but most people aren't. Mm-hmm. It's nice to just watch these ladies like get out there and like defy what it has been.
Mm-hmm. What is the skate community like in Reno in general? Is there a big community of people who skate, both female or otherwise?
Yes.
What is it like here and now in Reno for skaters of all types?
It's really cool. There's some people you have to watch out for, but in any scene, there's people you have to watch out for. I really love how everyone is down just for support. All my friends, it's the classic team, just Idlewild scene, Burgess scene, like we're all just a big family. And no matter what, I know they'll look out for me and I'll look out for them. And it's just, it's more than skateboarding at that point, you know, it's like a family and I love all them, especially like Eric Dean from Classic. They've helped me out so much. They're both sweethearts. And it's just so nice to be a part of something where I feel truly valued, even if I'm not a good skater. Hmm. I feel like a lot of real skaters don't care who you are, your ability of skateboarding. They just want good times and to be chill. And that's what a lot of it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. How old are you? You're young, right?
I'm 20.
You're 20. So yes. You've been doing this for what, almost a couple years now?
Bitchin' Betty's last year.
Just last year,
gotcha. Yes. And then as far as me skating, last 4 years.
Gotcha. So starting a community like this in your teens and doing events and reserving the park and booking bands and all of these things, that's a lot for a young person. What's it been like kind of learning as you go about doing events and about creating what you've created?
I'm really determined. Yeah. If I want something to happen, I will make it happen. Mm. Not like in a toxic way, but I just feel like don't limit yourself because of what other people tell you. So many people are dream killers, and especially to young people. Like, so many people tell me, like, I'm never going to be successful if I continue the mindset that I have. Some people tell me that I'm, like, doing too much, or I'm, like, taking it back a step by doing only women's events and not including everyone. And it's hard to be a younger person in a place where people are unmotivated and want to kill your dreams because they couldn't live out their own dreams. And so what I just do is push past all that. Screw you. Don't talk crap to me. I just keep going. Asking questions. I think the smartest people are the ones who ask questions. Ask as many questions as you can. And how I figured out how to rent the park, I just called the city. Hey, how do I do this? And they directed me to the right department. You could talk to people at the library. If you see like a city member walking around, if you see those ambassadors is what they call them, the guys on Segways, ask them, like, just ask questions if you want to throw events, host events. And then also doing things for cheap. That is really, really hard when you're working with the city. But go to thrift stores to find all your supplies. Like, if you're going to make t-shirts, recycle all your t-shirts. Like, you can get at the bins, like, they charge by pound, you know, you can get 15 t-shirts for like $6. And where do you find that? And especially it being like eco-friendly.
Yeah. Well, I think that also skate culture does have this element of kind of like DIY punk rock. Like,
so much better.
Right. And do you find that that helps you to get things done on the cheap because it's part of the like the natural tendency and aesthetic and way of being of that culture?
Yes. And before I started skating, I was always like a collector. I like my stepmom used to always call me a hoarder. I just would find things that I thought were cool and I'd keep them and I'd save them for a later date, whether I did like an art piece with it, whether I used it for school, anything that I thought was cool, I would keep. And I noticed, wow, I don't buy anything. I don't need to buy anything. I have all this cool stuff and I got it all for free. So just keep your eye out. Go secondhand all the way. If your friends are getting rid of stuff, see if it's valued to your business, to your life, to your house. Really just think about resourcefulness because there's so much junk in this earth and we don't need anymore.
Totally.
Stop buying things.
Right. What do you think about the skate park down in City Plaza that the city put in just last year or so, right? They put in some skate features.
Yes, it was cool. It's really cool. I would really love if they would add a kicker.
What's a kicker?
It's like half of a ramp. It's like a ramp with coping, but it doesn't have another side to it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What's coping?
Coping is like the metal part that you grind on at the top of the ramp.
Okay, gotcha. Do you think that the city's supportive of the skate community? Obviously, there's a couple skate parks in our city parks. There's one Idlewild.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. So what's that like kind of working with the city and, you know, our area's kind of amenity or accessibility for skate stuff?
Well, most city members like skateboarding. There's a few that don't. The reason why they put all the stuff at City Plaza was because the people would like to look down and watch the skaters from their office, and there was nothing for them to skate down there, just flat ground. They thought that it would be cool to add some features so they could watch people, and like the rainbow rail's cool. I like the mani pad. I definitely think compared to most mobile parks, because you can pick all that stuff and take it away. If another city, I feel like, were to do that, it would be like all wood and it would just fall apart and be hit by the elements. But because it's like metal, it stays for a lot longer.
Oh, so you think the city invested in like decent quality stuff for the plaza?
Yes. And I definitely respect that. And working with the city, it was really intimidating at first. I was a little bit mean, I feel like, because I was so scared. It's a table, a big oval table, and you're sat in front of two police officers, two firefighters, the city special events head, her assistant, health department, trash department, parks and rec. Like, you're sit in front of everybody. And then there's people in line waiting to take their turn. So the first time I went, I was the last one. So I waited for like an hour and a half for all these people to pitch their ideas. I'm just freaking out the whole time. And I took every question and concern that they had offense to on accident. And like, I didn't realize that they weren't being offensive. They were just trying to make sure that they could do it to their code.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to do this whether you like it or not. And they were like, okay, well, if she's going to do this anyway, we'll just make sure. Like, they helped me out a lot. Mm-hmm. They gave me extensions on all the fees because it's crazy. If you rent the park for like 6 hours, it's $85 an hour. Plus having live music, it's a $50 sound permit. You have to get fire out there to come check out things. If you're cooking food, that's a whole nother thing. Each vendor is $20 if they don't have a business license. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot to think about when you hear it, but when you like just sit down and like handle things like one thing at a time, it's pretty manageable. Mm-hmm. But it was just really, really scary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like when you're 18, 19, 20, even to 30, like each individual year you gain is such a big difference in like knowledge, kindness, ability to like function in the real world.
Oh yeah.
And from then to now, it was real. I thought I couldn't do this anymore. Mm. And then I just kept going, kept trucking it out. I had the first competition. It was a really big success. And then for the competition this year, I was able to go in there like a pro, tell them everything I needed from them. And then they were able to tell me everything they needed from me. And it worked out so much better.
Nice. Right. Yes. On. Yeah. You mentioned lessons earlier, too. And I know that's another thing that you do with Bitch and Betty's is offering lessons so that people can get started on skating.
Yes. They are for every single type of gender and identity. I believe that skateboarding is for the people and everyone should learn it. If you can't skateboard, roller skate. If you can't roller skate, bike. Get on wheels. It's better for the environment and it teaches you a lot about life. It's a lot of failing to get good. I feel like that's the biggest lesson that I've taken from it is you have to fail to be good at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the first step of anything is mm-hmm. sucking at it, right?
And I think that's a lot of my like motivation to keep going is anytime I fail, I've had like 20 like failed businesses from the time I've been like a little kid. I just always was business oriented. I always wanted something that I could put my name on and be like, yes, I'm proud of that. Mm. And this is the first one where I'm like, okay, this is actually going. So then when I have like a failed event or an event that nobody really shows up to, I'm like, okay, the next one will be full of people. Mm-hmm. And if the next one's not full of people, the next one will. And if it takes a while to build like a basis of people coming to each event, I don't mind because I have the main one to look forward to. And I just want to get people skating. And so I'm not like, this is the first one where I'm not doing it specifically for like success. Like I just want people to skate.
Mm.
True passion project. I definitely appreciate everyone who's helped me and supported me along the way because this is like my dream in life. I just want to teach people how to skate, help everyone out. And shout out to SkateMD for Healing Hearts. They're in Sacramento, Auburn area, Grass Valley area. And they teach kids with disabilities how to skateboard. And I would love to do something like that in Reno. I went and volunteered for them the last event a week or two ago. And it was so just awesome to see all of these kids who some of them can't even talk. Some of them are deaf, like some of them are blind, like just getting on a skateboard and just having the time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
It was so like empowering.
I love that. How dangerous are various skate sports, right? Like I always associate skateboarding with broken wrists. I just think of like,
yes.
That's a way to fall and hurt yourself.
Drink your milk. Eat calcium if you are non-dairy or vegan.
Have you ever had any serious injuries or how do you deal with like the safety issues with first time skaters, people who don't know what they're doing? How much of the safety is a part of what you're teaching and what you're doing with Bitch and Betty's?
Yes. The more time passes, the more I get scared to fall because I've gotten so to a comfortable place where I don't fall that much. But now I'm ready to try more tricks. So I got pads, knee pads. Don't have elbow pads yet, but I'm eventually looking into a helmet. But knee pads are so important. They're a lifesaver because you can put a lot more pressure on your knees and not have any issues.
Mm.
I do have wrist guards. I don't like to wear them. They make my hands really sweaty. It's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely are a help when I'm doing like tricks where I put my hands on the ground.
Right.
So then I don't like scuff up my palms. The more scared I get, the more I realize that pads are okay. Protecting yourself is okay. Mm-hmm. Wear a helmet if you feel more comfortable with it. And honestly, I believe that like helmets, pads give you false confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's still confidence, but like a new sense of confidence that you didn't have before without the pads, and then you start trying more things, and then you start getting interested in more tricks. I feel like the more you protect yourself, the better you are. Mm-hmm. And then the as far as the most dangerous, I think that all of them are dangerous in their own aspect. I definitely think roller skating is most likely the least dangerous because you only fall on like your knees or your butt. Knee pads, which help a lot with that. I have pretty bad knees. I can't fall on my knees. And I got them for like $20 at Classic, and they fold over the top part of my knee. So they're not like the cheap like Walmart ones where they're just straight and then they fall down all the time. Mm-hmm. The ones that angle over your kneecap are the best ones, and they're normally thicker and they have more padding. You can straight like knee slide like 10 feet on them if you like wanted to.
For people who want to get involved in skate sports, how would you recommend that they begin? Is it like meeting with you and taking a lesson? Is it just going and trying to like cruise down the street and not do any tricks or ramps? Street. Just like get a skateboard and learn to teach yourself to move on it?
Yes. Well, I've had lessons where it's been like the person's first time stepping on a skateboard mm-hmm. ever. Normally for those lessons, I teach them how to push around, how to go from being on their tail to stomping down, where they lean back and then they stomp down. And that helps a lot. I feel like the first step to skating in general is learning how to ride. Because the more comfortable you are riding, the more open you are to learning new things as far as like functionality. Like you're not less likely to hurt yourself. And being comfortable on a skateboard, roller skates, roller blades, bike, I feel like you'd be crazy if you learn tricks before you learn how to actually push on it, you know?
Yeah. How can people connect with you? Do you have events coming up, and where can people find you online? If people are interested in learning more, what's the best way for them to do that?
It'll already be passed by this release date, but we're doing a giveaway announced August 1st. It's for a brand new skate deck, Bitchin' Bomb, which is a 900 milligram CBD cream, Sierra Nevada hemp. Hooked me up with. They're amazing. Go use their CBD. It's grown, processed, packaged all the way in Carson. It's beautiful stuff. And then my friend Bad Tattoo Jada, they have posters and stuff that they hand drew that they're going to give away as well. It's $2 to enter, and I just wanted to do it because I want more like oomph, you know, like here's my stuff, take it.
Excellent. And where can people find you online or reach out to you or connect with you?
Yes, Bitchin' Betties at BITCHIN_BETTIES. And then my personal, as far as Ella goes, that's Bert Slide Betty, BERTSLIDE.BETTY.
Gotcha. Tell me about the name Bitchin' Betties.
Yes, my friends like call like ripping skater girls Hesh Betties. And I was like, that's totally bitchin'. Wait, Bitchin' Betties. And then it just all kind of fell together. And I like how it's old school. And I like how bitchin' is one of the only cuss words people are like, will teach their kids.
Right.
People are like, oh yeah, bitchin'. Like that's what we used to say back in the day. And I think it's really wholesome to see like some older folks like reactions to it being called Bitchin' Betties. Mm-hmm. It's so adorable. They're like, oh my God, like I haven't heard that word in years.
That's what, do you find that there's an interest across different age groups too? Like I know that like you're relatively young. Are there skaters who are, you know, I'm almost 40. Are there skaters who are older, who are from like the previous like generation of skaters who are participating in these kinds
of things? Yes. So the youngest we've ever had skate with us is like 3 years old. Just holding hands and everything, but it's still cute. Perfect. He's going to be a little ripper. Mm-hmm. And then the oldest we've had is a lady named Beverly. I think she just moved to Tahoe from Mammoth, but she was 70 and she entered the Mammoth Volcom Bros competition last year. Ripper. She won the 65 and older division.
Oh, rad.
Rad. And she is definitely a Betty for sure. I love to see all the different age ranges. Like we have people in their, when they're kids, like people in their teens, people in their 20s, people in their 30s, people in their 40s, people in their 50s. That's the best thing about like skating too, is just I'm like friends with some 50-year-olds, like, and I never thought that like that would be a thing, but I am. It's so fun because they say that I bring them youthful energy and they like get me inspired to think how I want to be when I'm older. And like, it's just a good circle of family. I consider every single skateboarder to be my family because you got to be good somewhere if you skate.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's good to chat with you. I'm glad that you were able to come to the Sierra Regional event, and I appreciate you taking the time. I know relatively little about skating, so whenever I meet skater people, I'm like, that's very cool. I just got a bike, an e-bike, which has been kind of like a game changer for me to be back on wheels. I used to bike all of the time, and it's been a long time since I've had any kind of like wheel transit. So the bike is kind of, I'm tiptoeing back into other ways of getting around than just a car or walking.
Yes. And then if you ever like, don't just go off the coping into the bowl at Idyllwild, but I recommend put your bike at the bottom and then kind of like cruise around in a circle on the bottom. It's always fun.
Right on. Cool. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this Rena White's Shorts episode with Ella Hayworth of the Bitchin' Bettys. And thanks to Ella for coming on the show. Really great to learn about what she's doing here with the local skate community. As I said, I have new episodes coming up at the beginning of September, so now's a great time for guest suggestions. Shoot me an email, Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at renoites.com, or a message on Instagram. That's at renoites on Instagram. I will also continue to be at the Riverside Farmers Market most Sunday mornings from 8 to 1. So come by the Farmers Market. It's at Idyllwild Park every Sunday, 8 to 1. A ton of really great vendors there. I'm also doing some mini episodes with some of the other vendors. I've put a few of those out already and hoping to do a whole bunch more over the course of the rest of the summer. So keep an eye on the podcast feed for those. And again, if you have suggestions, maybe a favorite vendor at the market that you think would be a good guest for the show, let me know. Let them know. Put us in touch. That would be really great to be able to highlight the vendors that you want to hear on the show. Again, that's Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at renoites.com, and Instagram at renoites. And that's all I've got for you this time. Have a great day.